Adult Authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Authors, I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is with Fiona Cosgrove on spooky stories and publishing paths and crafting middle grade thrills as a hybrid author. And we chat about her inspiration to write spooky stories for young readers, how she strikes the right balance between fun and fright, being a hybrid author, navigating both traditional and self-publishing avenues, advantages and challenges of being a hybrid author in today's publishing landscape, how she incorporates elements of suspense and mystery in her storytelling, while ensuring themes remain age-appropriate and relatable, and Fiona's advice for aspiring authors in the middle grade genre interested in hybrid publishing, and much more. So in my author adventure this week, I have started writing the second book in my women's fiction series, The Lawyer, The Singer and The Server, and I haven't quite finished plotting the final act, but I have gone ahead and decided to start writing chapter one, and it's great. Like, I feel like I've been writing, but I've not obviously been writing a full project, I guess, since the last one, obviously. There's been other bits and pieces, but yeah, so it's been nice to get back into writing. I dare say that this book will appear at the beginning of next year. I'm still getting lots of good feedback coming in from people that are reading The Writer, The Hairdresser and The Nurse, the first in series, so I'll be hitting those people up for reviews soon, and just in the middle of putting together a marketing plan for the first in series, which I should have probably done already, but you know, I am where I am and it is what it is, and I'll get where I need to be at my own pace. And like we all know, there is no right, there is no wrong when it comes to writing, publishing and promoting. Obviously there is some rules. Don't make a crap product, really. So in publishing, I have been waiting on a copy of The Writer, The Hairdresser and The Nurse, a proof copy from Amazon. And anyway, the proof copy has arrived and it's not 100% how I want it. So I've now got to go back and sort of tweak all that, which is the fun part of publishing. Yeah. Sizing is always my, like, what I fall short on, and the size is actually not too bad, like the height, but the width needs to be a little bit more because the writing just seems a bit squashed. So as I have learned in the past, you don't put a product out until, you know, it's, I'm not going to say perfect, because I don't believe in perfection. I do not believe in perfect. I've got this far. Realizing perfection is, it's not going to get you anywhere in publishing, personally, I feel. And you can forever perfect a project, and that's really all you'll be doing with that project. But if you do your best, know that it's damn well good enough, then that's good enough for me. So it's all goal there. And I'm just really wanting, and this is definitely a goal that will happen before the end of the year, that I want to get my book up on all the other platforms. And this is why I have to print through Amazon. Obviously, originally have printed locally. So I effectively have two products. Not two products. I've got two of the same book, really, from different printers. The ones that I have printed locally are going to be made, not Australia specific, but they're special, really, because the first print run. The Amazon ones are going to be print on demand, obviously. Someone wants it worldwide, they'll print it and it'll go off. I'm not buying stock of the Amazon ones. I've got the stock of the Australian ones. That's what you will get when you buy direct from me. And yeah, they're a different... The quality from Amazon is pretty good. But the publisher, the local printer is good quality also. And selling direct with these copies, the initial print run, they are specialised signed author copies. So that is the difference, really, buying from me direct. You can type a dedication into them, obviously, just for the print books, the ebooks, not so much. And I would also like to execute the audiobook by the end of the year. So the reason that is holding me up is because of the little cavoodle puppy we have at home. If you've seen on social media, 8 months now, Molly Joe, my daughter's puppy. And this thing is a stalker of mine and follows me constantly from room to room. It has a little bell. And I just think, how am I going to record audio with this thing tinkling? It's not too bad when it's the podcast because, you know, I don't mind a bit of background. I'm in my car right now. As you all know, I record in various places, but you do get a bit of background noise. And we're very relaxed over here at the Hybrid Author. So, but not for audiobook, needs to be a bit more probably professional. So I'm going to have to figure that one out. But that will be another goal I want to hit by the end of the year. And I have released that I'm going to have another book by the end of the year. And in back of my mind, and this is again where I've had growth, and I've spoke about this in the last couple of weeks, is I would frantically be trying to get finished all the stuff that I wanted by the end of the year now. And now I can take a realistic approach and view on what's achievable, what's not, and what where I should be focused. So yay me! There'll be lots of reflection in the lessons learned episode that I do at the end of each year. And I dare say that will come up again. And I'm patting myself on the back. You can't see, and I'm just pretending to because I don't want to make the noise, but I do feel really proud about where I'm at and how I understand my working process at this point. So hurrah for me. Back to the writer, the hairdresser and the nurse. As I said, I've created a marketing plan and I'm starting to, you know, like try and have some fun with it as well. Like I don't cringe away from marketing, but I have sort of got a bit of a stigma about, I hate the word selling. I don't, and marketing to me is probably making your books, you think of making people aware of your books. And by that, you think of the benefits and who they can help, and that's fine. But the actual word selling books, sell, I don't like. And to me, it's just made aware. I changed the lingo to make myself feel a bit more calm and relaxed about putting my work out there and whatnot. But what I was realizing is, you know, there's books out there that change people's lives, take people away from their existence for a little bit, provide them with escapism, enjoyment, and that's what my women's fiction is. And the feedback I'm receiving from people, you know, they're reading it, and not only that, they're reading it right to the end and saying how much they enjoyed it, and, you know, that was achievable for them. And that is, because sometimes getting to the end of a book is quite difficult for some people, especially busy mums, and that's the target audience, who are time poor, who have to sit down, who have to force themselves, some of them, to sit down and actually make quality time for themselves, especially reading a book. So I commend those who have done that, and I'm glad that my book has been the one to provide you with that little bit of respite and fun, imagination, romance, all of it. So that's very exciting to me. And obviously, happy Halloween. Halloween's been, but yeah, I'm excited to share this interview with Fiona. Very fitting, obviously, being the spooky month and all. Shared a post on social media. This is me starting my marketing efforts with a little video that I created. And it was for not my women's fiction, but for my Author Fears and How to Overcome Them book. And so that's one of my non-fiction books. It said, "This Halloween, don't let fear haunt your writing. Author Fears and How to Overcome Them by Joanne Morrell helps you face those writerly worries and banish self-doubt once it rears its ugly head. Perfect for writers looking to take courage this spooky season." And again, you can get all my books direct from the website. But as we know, postage is a pain in the bum, and unfortunately it can't be avoided. So books postage from my website is, you know, locally it's about $11. So if you want to save on postage and you want some of my books, the women's fiction or the non-fiction books, you can come see me at Perth Upmarket at UWA. That's on the 17th of November, 10 till 4. I have the Hybrid Author has a stall there, and I will be selling my books. I'll be selling the book bundles also. Great gift for Christmas. You can have them personalized with dedications. There's going to be personalized letters from the author included in it, as well as already gift wrapped for Christmas. You can also, if you can't make it there, you can come to the free writing events that the City of God Knows are putting on, and I am presenting two of them, the Discovering Roblox in Writing, Wednesday the 20th of November. That's at the Blue Room, Amherst Village Library, and this is from 4 till 5. So you can come get some good conversation. Well, you can hear hear from me and also purchase my books direct on the day. The other session is Getting Published, Friday the 29th of November, and that's at Lesser Hall Mills Park Library, and that runs from 3 till 4. So yeah, hope to see you there if you're around, Perth people. If you're not in Perth, unfortunately postage still stands, but buying direct from me makes I receive the full royalties for all the hard work, and you get a very personalized copy of my book, which is signed however you like it or to whomever you like it. I was supposed to be going out to a book event, but unfortunately life just changes sometimes. You've got to roll with it. So personal thing popped up where I'm no longer going. So that was, it was actually the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, was in conversation with Tess Woods at the Joondalup Resort and the golf club. And it's going to be a big event. I think it's sold out. There's probably about 700 people. But yeah, Fergie, she's an author of lots of books. It would be quite interesting to go and hear her speak, and would have liked to meet her face to face, but it's not to be. So I know a few author friends that are going, so it'll be nice to hear how the event went. Also, over the weekend, last weekend, not this weekend, I launched the picture book Dragon Guest Handbook by Jeanette Stamponi and Novia Hiroanto, and it's just such a special picture book. So it's out in stores now, guys, go and grab a copy. I got one for my nephew. It's a beautiful, beautiful book, really silly and fun, but also with a large message of just love and breaking down those communication barriers. But yeah, it was very honored to be participate in that. Also, a friend of mine is running a Kickstarter campaign, Purity P8. If you go and check out Kickstarter, she currently has a Kickstarter called Whisker Wonders Possum Cat Stickers. Stick, share, and show off your eco-friendly feline fandom. And so these are eco-friendly stickers of beautiful cat designs for any cat lovers out there. They are super cute. So you can go and check her campaign over at Kickstarter and back the project. It's fantastic.
Thorn Creative, where beautiful websites for authors are brought to life. No matter what stage you're at with your writing, your stories deserve a dedicated space to shine. Whether you're just starting out or have a bookshelf full of bestsellers, your website is the hub of your author business, binding everything you and your books offer together. Thorn Creative can nurture all aspects of redesigning your old site or start afresh from the initial design. They can provide ongoing hosting and maintenance to marketing your books online, saving you time, money, and stress trying to wrangle your site yourself. An author website built by Thorn Creative can easily direct readers to your favorite retailers, your publisher, or simply set you up to sell to them direct. The options are endless. Thorn Creative have worked with many authors across all genres and know what goes into good, functional working author websites to sell books. Head on over to thorncreative.com.au/websitesforauthors to read author and publisher testimonials and to see what they offer and some of the sites they've created.
Born and bred in Perth, Western Australia, Fiona was raised on a far too paranormal diet of X-Files, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Fact or Fiction, and a plethora of other completely age-inappropriate TV shows. This has led to not only a peculiar open mind, but also a taste for the delightfully mysterious and macabre. After studying marine science and working for several years within the commercial fishing industry, Fiona finally decided to test run those voices that had taken up space in her head for far too long. When Fiona is not sitting in front of the computer screen, trudging through the painstaking first drafts, hanging out with her two kids, an oversized pooch, and one amusingly logical husband, you can usually find her listening to podcasts, baking cakes, following that black line in the pool, or with her head in an array of books. Welcome to the Hybrid Author Podcast, Fiona.
Thanks, Jo. Thanks for having me. It always sounds so much better when someone reads out my bio than when you're writing it yourself.
Oh, it's fantastic. You've got a lot in there that, you know, you get a good, well-rounded view of you as a person in your life.
A bit of everything.
Well, you know, you can obviously tell you've had a love for paranormal. And how did you end up falling into writing?
I've thought about this question a few times and I answered it not long ago. And I don't know. I still don't know. I never wanted to be an author growing up, but looking back, like I always kept a diary. I always had a journal, which I've since burned all of them so they didn't fall into the wrong hands. I think I did that when I was like late teenage years, which was probably the right thing to do. But I always kept a journal. I still keep one now. And looking back, I think I was pretty good at fan fiction. I was pretty good at taking someone else's words and then making them into something else. But I didn't realize that was fan fiction at the time. I just remember in primary school always riffing off of other people's stories, and I just thought that meant I had no imagination. But I think it's just part of the creative process. I didn't give myself enough credit.
Yes,
But I think it was,
adaptation.
yeah, I don't
That's
think
a
we give fan
thing.
fiction enough credit, but it's a great way to start writing. And then I remember I was a few years into, so I studied marine science and then I went into the commercial fishing management. And I was a few years into that and I was sitting on the couch. This was pre-kids when I was bored, because that hasn't happened post-kids, but I was sitting on the couch with my laptop. I was a little bit bored and I thought, I'll just pick it up. And what if I just started writing a few words? And I ended up writing a few thousand words of I would say a middle grade fantasy, which I never finished. Doesn't matter. Maybe I'll pick it up one day. But I wrote a few thousand words and I thought, this is pretty fun. And my sister was the one who always wanted to be an author, and she has had a story in her brain since she was probably about 12. And I thought, I'll send it to her, because if anyone's going to be honest with me, it's going to be your sister. And I sent it to her and she replied with, "There's no way you wrote this." And I thought, that's both complimentary and insulting and very typical of our relationship. It gave me some motivation. I thought, well, maybe I'm not too bad at this. And I think more so than thinking I had any skill in it at all, it was really fun and I really enjoyed it. And I started to think about it nonstop and I couldn't stop writing from that point on. So I took a couple of courses. One of them was Natasha Lester's course. I don't even know if it's still running now. It was in UWA Extension. And that was probably the chunkiest course I did. It was over maybe 6 weeks or 2 months.
Wow.
And you go there every week and you just, it's, I think it was nailing your novel or something like that. And that was kind of the first introduction to writing that I had, because I never pursued it earlier than that. I even failed English when I was in high school. So it was never at the forefront to pursue a writing career.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. And I think there's something quite spiritual about it. I have similar stories to mine, actually, sitting one day and just thought, well, I'm going to write a short story. But before that, prior to that, having an interest as a kid, I was a reader and had same, like, wrote some journals. I kept mine.
Did
Yeah,
you?
I did. And the whole things are falling apart, but I'll be absolutely disgusted to look at them again one day. I
I was
can't
going to
face
say,
it.
do you go back? Do you ever
Not
reread them?
right now. Not right now. I've got a good idea of what's in there. Probably just a lot of boy talk or something. So
That
I
was what mine was too. Are you scared someone's going to find them? I was always terrified someone would find them.
Oh, I know. And out you really is. Like, being like, ooh, I didn't know she was like that.
Now you're scared. Now you're going to go and sacrifice them all.
That's it. And yeah, I remember doing a Natasha Lister course as well. It wasn't as meaty as that one. I think she was doing a perfect pitch one or something. Her courses are really fantastic. But I
Yeah.
think she mixes them up as well. So, no, it sounds like it's meant to be. And I love your sister's feedback. That's hilarious. It's
She's
obviously,
still the same.
yeah, set you on the right track. Is she one of the first people that you send your work to occasionally?
My dad is now. Yeah, she'll be one of the top ones, but she's not a horror lover. That's why I had to kind of pivot away from her, because I think some of the stories I was sending her, she's like, I just can't right now. So I had to pivot to my dad, who is far more into Twilight Zone and the paranormal. He's my go-to at the moment.
Oh, fantastic. Well, your spooky middle grade books have a unique twist to children's literature. They bring that. What inspired you to delve into the world of spooky stories for young readers? You obviously enjoy that, but maybe getting into the younger reader side, and how do you ensure they strike the right balance between fun and fright?
I think when I first started, I wrote pretty broadly. So I wrote adult romance, I wrote some contemporary, I wrote some junior fiction that took place at a zoo. I think I entered in everything. Any kind of short story competition I saw, any kind of prompts that I saw, I would just keep writing and sending them in. And I kind of realized fairly quickly that everything I wrote had a little bit of a dark tone, a little bit of a dark twist to it. And it was probably not until I entered the KSP Spooky Short Story Competition. I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2018 or 2019. And I thought, oh, this feels really cozy and comfortable. And it felt like my wheelhouse. And I think sometimes you write in other genres or other age groups and it feels like a struggle, or you get bored halfway, or you're just not sure where it's going. You lose energy. But whenever I'm writing spooky middle grade, it's like the energy just keeps snowballing and I get really excited and it just feels, I guess, right, for lack of a better explanation. than that.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I think that you can, like you said, you can try lots of different areas and until you kind of find what is the right fit or what does feel right. I think it's a very gut feeling. I write with my gut as well. And I've kind of started in YA, went all the way down through middle grade and junior fiction always baffled me. I get it now, but just that whole middle section is very weird. And then down to picture books and all the way back up. And now I've come to the conclusion after so many years. I have an older voice. I'm now writing for adults. And yeah, I still will probably dabble in the YA, but you do. I think you know what you like, what you are you a big reader as well of this sort of genre or
Yeah, this is
horror and
my the
things?
genre. Yeah, this is the genre that I love to read, and I'll read middle grade spooky, anything that's slightly twisted, and not twisted in a graphic or grotesque way, because I will read some adult horror, and after, a couple of those, I'll really need to dial it back. It doesn't sit too well with me after a diet of like pure adult horror. But anything that's a little bit twisty and has twists and turns that you don't see coming is a little bit creepy, and I love that age group from kind of 10 to 14. It feels maybe a little bit more uncomplicated and really driven by the adventure and the story. And there can just be so much fun banter in that age group that makes it really enjoyable. And I think, like you said, you just have a writing voice. Like I tried junior fiction and I just sucked at it. I couldn't figure it out. It's like I couldn't stick to the word count, and I was like, oh, none of this is gonna, like, my daughter wouldn't understand this, and she's 8, she wouldn't be able to read this. I think you just have a voice that is just kind of built in, and I'm sure you can kind of train that out, but definitely you have a go-to.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just couldn't like I made something in my first year of uni, which because of the size of it, I think I was calling it junior fiction, but probably the content would have been middle grade. But the writing was like almost YA, so it was a really, really, hybrid sort
You
of
created your own genre.
book. Well, and I can look at it now, like it was a good trial, especially because I put it out there and I had such crippling self-doubt that I couldn't get behind this thing. But yeah, I mean, the first bit was okay, and I had like reading it, and because I had commissioned an artist as well. But as soon as you turn the page, it's just writing, 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 and that would have put a child probably about that age off immediately. But I could never, I really, really struggled. Like, I felt like the ideas I had were younger because I guess they were children's, but my voice is older, and I didn't want to change that either. I didn't want to dial it down. I don't, dumb's not the word, but age it down. I just didn't want to do that. So now I don't anymore,
Good.
which is good and it's liberating. But yeah.
Yeah, you figured it
Well,
out.
yeah, that's it. Eventually, 10 years later.
100%.
At least I figured it out. I guess you could probably keep going. Yeah. But well, you are a hybrid author because you navigate, both the traditional and the self-publishing avenues. How do you decide now, sort of going forward, which projects that you feel might be best putting out yourself or like for a traditional publishing side? And what have been the advantages and challenges that you found being a hybrid author in today's publishing landscape?
I think it'll be nuanced per book. I think there's certain books that obviously feel more marketable and that could lend itself more to traditional publishing, and that might be something I pursue with some books. Whereas I think there are others, like I think my Twisted Trail series is a choose your path series, and I'd really, not that when I was writing it I even thought I was going to publish it, or had a strategy in any way, shape or form, but I think once I got to a point where I realized I kind of wanted to put it out there. I just didn't think there would be any appetite from traditional publishers. I think it can be such a narrow market, especially as like a debut author. That's something to the left, or potentially something that is seen as not for today's market. It's just not going to be picked up. And by that point with Twisted Trails, I was really just sick of not being able to move forward with anything, always getting stuck waiting for someone else to give me permission or to pick me up and to like take me along for the journey. And I really liked the book, and I really liked the story, and I really liked the kind of brand around it. And I think that will play into any future book. So I have an idea for a short story collection. I don't think I will seek out any traditional publishing for that one because I love the idea of it being like a branded experience, and I like having the idea of having control over that. But something like, I have another middle grade that I want to write, and I think that might be a really good fit to follow behind Sadie with Dragonflight Publishing. Obviously, it depends on the opportunities that are around. Can't guarantee like traditional publishing that anyone will pick me up. But it will depend on the opportunities. It'll depend on where I'm at, like, I guess, my writing journey. It'll depend on a few things. I think it'll be nuanced, but I think anything to the left of center of what's currently in the market is probably something that I'll pursue self-publishing wise. But I do always think that I will have, hopefully, my kind of toe in either side of the pond.
Yeah, it makes for interesting. So you set out and did the Twisted Tales yourself, and then you landed a publishing deal. Did you obviously have something out on submission before you did the tales?
Yeah,
or?
Yep. So I was sending things out for submission. I think Sadie is the first one to be picked up with a traditional contract, and that was maybe the fourth manuscript I'd been submitting, and I think it had been on submission for about a year. And I, like I said, I was just getting really frustrated. Like, you know how fun it is to plan bookmarks and to plan merch and to start planning, like, how you're going to gift wrap, all of these fun things. But I could never get there because I could never get the book.
Yeah.
And I'd been talking to a friend who was self-publishing a romanticy series, and she was just so excited and so free. And she was talking about all this art that she had commissioned and all of these additional things. And I thought, I don't want to be doing stuff like that, whether or not it's going to earn me money. It's just this creative pool that you kind of can't get to unless you publish a book. And so I thought, it started with just me wanting to write a short, a junior fiction one again, which I ended up sucking at and realized it was middle grade. But I thought, I want to write a junior fiction choose your adventure. And after I wrote it, I started to think, well, maybe I could publish this. It was meant to be a Christmas present for my niece and nephew. But I thought, what if I just self-publish it? Like, it's not going to hurt anyone. Yeah. I think there was always this thought in the back of my head that if I self-publish something under my name, that it will hinder any potential for traditional contracts later. And I just don't know if that's the case. I don't think it is.
I don't think it should
hold anyone back. No. So then I self-published that one. And I think I self-published it in March, and it would have been February that I sent my work to Dragonfly Publishing. And so pretty much by the time I was self-publishing Twisted Trails, I had signed exactly the same time. I signed a contract for Sadie and the Secret of the Swamp, and that had a big lead in. So that was March last year, and it's coming out in a couple of weeks now. So it all happened around the same time.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And, you know, one can piggyback off the other, you know, for both sides. So that's great. Huge congrats.
Agree.
On that.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Well, you know, middle grade readers are often, like you said, those stories, it's like adventure and excitement and things like that. And yeah, I mean, how have you incorporated elements of like suspense and mystery in your storytelling while kind of ensuring that themes are like age appropriate and relatable?
I think reading heavily in the genre is really, really valuable. I think it gives you an idea of the kind of the boundaries of which to stick to. And I'm often quite surprised or like maybe excited by the boundaries that can be pushed that I didn't realize. And I'll read a new book and I'll be like, oh, we can go there. I didn't realize we could say that, or we could do this. And so that's always really helpful to understand like maybe the conventions of whatever you're writing in or where the boundaries lie. I also remember hearing an interview from R.L. Stein, who wrote, this was back in the day, and he obviously wrote Goosebumps and Fear Street. And he was saying that the trick for horror is for middle graders to write horror that couldn't happen. So, you know, a sponge under the sink turns into some demon and like takes you away to some mystery land or whatever it is. Whereas the trick with horror for YA is that it's horrific because it can happen. So serial killers, whatever it may be. And my editor for Twisted Trails pulled me up on the similar thing. So I think I had one ending where a sea star attacked your face and you end up plummeting off the side of a cliff. She was like, I wouldn't do that. That feels a little bit too real. Maybe not the sea star part, but the plummeting off the cliff, that maybe you could change it to something more fantastical. Whereas she never had an issue with like a giant electric eel electrocuted you to death. That was fine. But anything too realistic was not okay. Whereas anything kind of fantastical was scary enough while staying within the boundaries of, I guess, what won't be traumatic.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I loved the Goosebumps series, and I loved like touching the books, you know, it was all like bumpy.
Yeah, they were the best. They were such an experience. You remember, you could sign up and get like one a month or something. You get a wallet and stickers.
Yeah, I never had the wallet or the stickers, but I did definitely read the books. And I remember feeling like they were quite, I wasn't like a big smart reader, but I remember they were quite easy to digest. And but I did still feel a bit like, ooh, I didn't read the Fear Street ones. Do you ever remember something called Eerie Indiana?
No.
It was like a TV show. It was like an American thing, but it was kind of similar, like something. I don't know what that would fall
wonder. Probably Mr.
Was it a book first? Because I do remember the TV series.
Yeah, I remember the TV series. I didn't read the book. But the same sort of thing, I guess, as like Goosebumps. Like each episode, there was something a bit weird. I'm sure it was the same boy, though, that was in it. And I think he was the boy from Hocus Pocus. Possibly the original. I don't know. But yeah, all those like sort of they're not harmful or too scary that keep you up at night, but just enough to be like, ooh, yes.
Yeah.
A little bit creepy. So yeah,
I used to love Are You Afraid of the Dark? Did you ever watch that? That was my all-time favorite.
Really familiar, but I don't know.
It was so cozy. It was like this group of teenagers and they went into the middle of the forest and they would light a fire and they would tell a tale.
Yes.
And they were never super scary. Like they were never horrible. Sometimes like I watch it now and I watch it with my daughter and I'm like, oh, these costumes are really quite grotesque.
All right.
Like they're actually quite horrific. But the story itself isn't horrible. And it's always twisty and like creative and you're like always trying to guess the ending. I would even watch it with my dad who would really love that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, I think is it like a sort of booming voice that goes, "Are you afraid of the dark?" Is it that?
Probably.
It's kind of coming back to me, I think.
Yeah. And there's like, they light a match at the very end of the opening scene and then it fizzles out.
Was that American?
It was,
probably. Everyone was American, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, well, you know, what advice would you give Fiona to aspiring authors who want to write in the middle grade genre, you know, and they're possibly interested in doing sort of hybrid publishing, you know, doing it themselves and getting a traditional deal? You said before you didn't have any strategies. Have you got any specific strategies or resources now that you found helpful, you know, in building your career and reaching your audience since you're in it now?
I think both are really good. I think I always aim now to have something self-published on the go and hopefully a contract of something coming out as well, because I do think, like you said, they play into each other. I think as far as my ultimate piece of advice, I'm really, really bad with advice because I think we're all so different. But
I know, so I got asked about tips lately and I was like, oh gosh, I wish I had thought of some. You just go blank, don't you? You're like,
what is some fabulous piece of advice? I think always write what you love. And I think you know, like we've said, I think it brings you joy. I think you're excited. You think about it outside of the times that you're writing. It just unfolds organically. And I think you can kind of chase what you think is trendy or what's going to take off in the market or what's currently doing well in the market. But inevitably, by the time you get your story out, it's going to be different. The market's going to have changed. The world changes. There's so many things you can't predict, that just write what you love and write what gives you energy and write what makes you happy, as well as get out there. I think, I mean, I do markets and I think sometimes I can leave a market and go, oh, I only sold like 10 books. And it feels like, was that just a big waste of time? It takes logistically, it takes time, and like energetically, it takes time, and financially, it costs money to do them. But then I'll get a message from someone later and say, oh, my grandkid hasn't put your book down, and like they absolutely adore it. And it's all these little things that you kind of forget if you just sell online or you sell in bookstores or whatever it may be. If you're not, it's these little stories that come back to you that make you remember, oh, that's why I started writing this, or someone's really enjoying it and it gives you a little bit of a spark to keep going.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And I think that we can get too mixed up in the whole earning an income and you know, this is a job, and it's difficult as well. But on the flip side, there is those little moments. Like for me, I think, again, I'm not writing in the children's fiction anymore, but I just thought, how cool would it be for like Book Week to see someone dressed up as a character from your book? That book, that weird hybrid thing I was talking about before, my name. If you did actually dress up as one of the characters one like for that year, and I was just I was mortified, so I didn't really count that, but I guess I've sort of had it, but I always thought that would be just darling, like to see that would be really nice. Or even to get messages of, you know, I'm receiving a few feedback from my women's fiction at the moment, and people are saying that they enjoyed it, or they haven't read a book and for ages, but they haven't put this down or something, and then the connection with other people is you know, surreal. It's just wonderful. So no, that's great. No, that's really lovely advice. Well, you know, congrats on all your success, Fiona. You're doing amazing, and I'm sure everybody's very keen to find out where they can buy your books and find everything you do on and offline.
Yeah, so you can find me on social media, Are You Afraid of the Books. I have a website too, Fiona Cosgrove Writer. Sadie, information on Sadie will be available through me, and I'll be doing book boxes towards the end of the year. You can also pre-order it through Dragonfly Publishing at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Fiona. That was fantastic.
Thanks, Joe.
So there you have it, folks. The sensationally spooky Fiona Cosgrove. Fiona's books and book boxes, they come in super spooky stuff. It's such fun for kids and adults alike. Please go and check out her website and all she does as well. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have young adult author Ari Rosenshine on reusing skills from a music career in publishing and republishing a book from traditional to self-published. I wish you well in your author adventure this next week. That's it from me. It's bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you are further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. Remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.